The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is a familiar text, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The first verse is a new sort of superscription, similar to but abbreviated from the one in chapter 1, verse 1. And this time, rather than identifying what is to follow as a chazon, a vision which Isaiah saw or visioned, this time it is hadavar. There seems to be maybe a contrast between the overall chazon and now this hadavar. Could be couched along the lines that the hadavar is a subset of the larger chazon. And yet how this matter, davar, has been received or perceived is the same. The verb is chazah. We begin verse 1. Hadavar asher chazah Yeshayahu ben Amoz al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. The matter, the thing, the word, which Isaiah son of Amoz saw about Judah and Jerusalem. And here's the content. Verse 2, V'haya v'acharit hayamim nakon yehyeh har beit Yahweh barosh heharim v'nisa migavaoth. And it will come to pass in the kind of the afterword of the days at the ending eth tends to make what might be an ordinary noun somehow a more abstract kind of thing. So here we have in the afterwards of the days, which puts it at some point in an as yet undetermined future. I think the prophets expected for Yahweh to act sooner rather than later, and yet they did not know exactly when these things would unfold. At any rate, there will come a time when the mountain of the house of Yahweh, Har Beit Yahweh, will be established, Nakon, or established it will be, Yehyeh, Nakon, here used adjectivally, will be established, Barosh Heharim, at or by the head or the top of the mountains. Just a small point, but notice that the article on Heharim is pointed with Segol, and that's just a feature before and unaccented comments. V'nisa mig v'oth, nisa here, nifal participle, use adjectivally, and the min is of comparison, will be raised or lifted up more than the hills. So the preeminence of the mountain of Yahweh, later to be identified as Zion. Completing the verse, V'nachru Elal Kol HaGoyim, and they will stream to it, Nahar, the noun Nahar, a stream or river, here the verbal form, all the nations will stream or flow to it. Verse 3, V'halachu amim rabim v'amaru, and many peoples will come, halak, again to it, and they will say, Luku v'na'le el har Yahweh, el beit Elohai Yaakov. Come, and let us go up, Allah, to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the God of Jacob. So again, an emphasis on the nations, the other peoples coming to the mountain of Yahweh. The Yorenu Midarkal, the Nelaka, the Orochotal. Yorenu, that he may teach us, Yorenu, Hifil of Yara, spelled defectively because the yod that is the radical is vocalized as a long O, but the mater letter has disappeared. Plus the first plural common object suffix, that he may teach or show us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. Ki mitzion teitse Torah, because instruction, Torah, goes out from Zion, and udavar Yahweh mirushalayim, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Another point here, that he may teach his ways, that he may instruct. Torah, it's the verbal root associated with it is Yara. So we have a verbal form, and then we have the nominal Torah. And this now has to do, this is different in a way from Lamad, to teach, to learn, in that there is probably a bit more of an element of revealing or revelation that takes place here. But the understanding is that true revealing or revelation comes from Zion, because that's where Yahweh makes his presence known to his own people, Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 4, Vashafat Bein Hagoyim, he will judge between or among the nations. Vahokiach Lamim Rabim, and he will decide or distinguish among or between many peoples. Shafat and Yachak, definitely parallel in this, as the nouns Goyim and Amim Rabim from the previous verse. There's no clear distinction between the two verbal roots, Shafat and Yachak, though it might be that Shafat is in some sense more comprehensive. Somehow the totality of God's governance, you know, even to the extent that that is comprised in a body of law, while Yachak is more applicable to individual decisions or casuistries. So Shafat, of course, from that, the word mishpat, which has to do with God's overall governance. At any rate, this judging between the nations and deciding between or among the peoples is not about, not expressly at this point, about judging righteous from wicked and so forth, but a matter of the way in which God governs or rules. This is a matter of the reign of God, the kingdom of God, coming to play in the lives of the world. The Kittatu, Har Botam Le'itim, their swords they will beat to plowshares, to itim. the familiar verse now at this point. Vachanitotehem lamaz meroth, and their spears to pruning knives or pruning hooks, sickle or scythe or something like that. Lo yasa goy el goy cherev, nation to nation will not pick up sword. So a nation will not pick up the sword against another nation. Velo lielmadu oth milchama, and they will not learn any more war or warfare. And notice here is the use of lamad, in a sense, contrast to yara and torah in the preceding verse. This time it's a matter of just the a simple learning that the experience of the people will ensue in the absence of warfare. Verse 5, Beit Yaakov laku v'nelaka b'or Yahweh. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of Yahweh. There is an interesting contrast, I think, at this point. A couple of things come to mind. One is to notice that there is the small kind of midline pay that marks the close of a paragraph at the end of verse 4. And yet BHS and all of our versions will tend to render 5 as part of the verse and not beginning a new paragraph. And in fact, the Dead Sea Scroll, the Great Isaiah Scroll, continues without any apparent marking, paragraph marking between 4 and 5. the key is, I think, that the ingredients of verses 2 through 4, the drawing of all nations to the mountain of Yahweh, is something that is to engender a little bit of, I'll call it a pious jealousy, that if the nations will learn and they will stream to the mountain of Yahweh in order to receive his Torah, how much more ought the house of Jacob to do so? The parallelisms between Yahweh's ways his derek or darkoth, and in his orchoth, the paths from verse 3, are echoed in this or Yahweh, the light of Yahweh at the end. Yahweh's particular work here is to yara, to instruct or to reveal. At Zion, Yahweh instructs or reveals, and from Zion, Torah instruction or revelation goes out. In the season of Advent, again, we are invited to look to something that will take place at the end of days, the consummation of the reign of God. And yet, we're also invited in Advent to remember and to think toward the first coming, when God, Yahweh, revealed himself and his will in the person of his Son. And it is Jesus who is Yahweh's way, the full disclosure of his Torah, both in terms of law and gospel, and recognizing the blessing that ensues not only for Judah and Jerusalem, but for all the people whom God has made.